Okay, welcome to the PPM Academy podcast for project, program, and portfolio managers, where we will interview industry experts and discuss current and future trends in the world of project, program, and portfolio management, and how we can impact our company's execution culture. I'm Gerald Litter. Today we have with us Carl Pritchard. Carl is the author of 7 books in project management, a co-producer of a nine CD audio set, pioneer and visionary in risk management and e-learning. Clients from virtually every sector of the economy have recognized his dynamic and entertaining and fun keynote presentations as a speaker and trainer. Carl is also well known as one of the lead contributors to the Project Body of Knowledge, PMBOK, version 4, 4th edition, as a leader in the development of the risk management knowledge area. Carl, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Hey, Gerald, thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. So let's get into this. So, how did you get started in the field of risk management, and what do you think has made you successful throughout your career?
Honestly, I got into risk management completely by accident. Project management is known as the accidental profession, and I became a project manager by accident, or risk manager by accident. What happened was, in the company I was working in at the time, the risk guy quit. This was in the early 90s, and went into the boss's office and said, "Hey, you understand he left?" And they said, yeah, better opportunity. And I said, "Oh, who's the new risk guy?" And they looked at me and smiled and said, "You got 6 weeks to get up to speed."
Wow.
Now, yeah, and you know, it's funny because this actually is kind of, I think, symbolic of where people need to be coming from when it comes to risk management. Everybody thinks you have to have some vaunted degree in all of this stuff, and the reality is that the best crucible for creating risk managers is actually just giving them a chance to learn what it's all about, and then get out there and start doing the risk process. And that's how I wound up here, and it's a nice place to be.
Oh, that's excellent. So, in regards to what's made you so successful throughout your career, can you shed a little bit more light on that?
It's largely a function of, and again, it goes back to risk management. It's the opportunity side of risk management. It's a matter of, we get presented with opportunities on virtually a daily basis.
Right.
And unfortunately, most organizations are not agile enough to actually seize upon those opportunities. My old boss, Ed, the best boss I ever had, Ed once said to me, when a client asked for a new delivery that we had never done before, he said, "What did you tell the client?" And I said, "Honestly, Ed, I told him I'd check and see if we could do that, and I'd get back to him." But he said, "That is the wrong answer." And I said, "Okay, Ed, what's the right answer?" And he said, "Very simply, from now on, I want you to say, that's all we do." And it's kind of an interesting moment, because I didn't even know we do that. And he said, "We don't yet. We will soon enough. We'll figure it out before they need to have it figured out." And granted, I think that's a high-risk kind of approach, but at the same time, I think that's the real secret to success, is believing in your own ability to resource out what you aren't currently capable of doing, and looking at it as just what it is. It's an opportunity to seize serendipity. Tragically, most organizations leave a lot of serendipity lying on the table.
Right, right. So when you think about how organizations manage risk, what do you think is poorly understood or unresolved in this area of risk management, especially when it comes to when you look at organizations that do project portfolio management, or they're dealing with cultural issues? Because risk management plays a major part in that as well.
The first thing is, they tend to look at it as being tainted. They tend to look at it as dark and sadness and evil and all those bad things. And as a result, organizations don't embrace it. They don't want to embrace it because they perceive it as, well, this is going to be just darkness. And the reality is, they should be looking at it as clairvoyance. They should be looking at it as an opportunity to gaze into a crystal ball and see the world as it might be. And if they look at it from that perspective, anytime you go to that's the part where organizations miss out. Instead, they have people generate a risk list, they put it into an Excel spreadsheet,
right.
They stuff it into SharePoint and forget about it. The reality is they should be having little fortune-telling sessions on a ritual basis just to try and see who's their best soothsayer, who's the one who can actually look into the crystal ball and truly, genuinely predict the future. And most of the time, it's not going to be an outside consultant like me. It's going to be somebody internal to the organization, somebody with some credibility within the organization, and somebody who's been around the block, somebody they probably haven't been listening to up till now.
Why do you think that's so critical for them to do that?
Because people tend to go to outside consultants a lot. And God bless them. If they didn't, I wouldn't have a career. But at the same time, most of the best insight, most of the really gifted insight is inside their own teams. Hmm. And they don't go after them because, well, gee, it's Bob, and Bob's been here forever. I mean, what could Bob possibly tell us? We need to hire somebody expensive from outside, when in reality, it's not the consulting culture that's going to solve their problems.
Right.
It's the people on the ground.
Right. That is so true. So Carl, tell us about your story.
I got into project management through the back door. I was a member of the media, and I've had every job known to humankind. One of the jobs I had was actually writing, doing ghostwriting for a big corporate culture, and I wound up writing a white paper for them on issues and concerns in project management. And put an executive's name on it, got a nice paycheck out of the deal, and walked away. And it was shortly after that that they started coming back to me saying, hey, we'd like some insights on project management. And I'm like, I know nothing about project management.
Wow.
And they came back and said, well, yeah, but you've got a much better grip on our problems than we do. And then I kind of slapped myself upside the head and said, wait a minute, what does this pay? And I took the job. The beauty is that, and this goes to another aspect of the whole project program portfolio thing, is as employees, we need to be the ones who are basically saying, when somebody says, hey, would you like to tackle this, or would you be interested in helping out on this, instead of looking at it and going, you know what, that is not my wheelhouse, I don't want to go there.
Right.
The exact opposite should be true. Anytime they're throwing some new bizarre opportunity at us, we should be the ones going, I'd love to take that on, because that's the kind of opportunity that builds careers.
Yes, I agree. That sounds like a great story. Anything else you want to share about that stands out for you?
Just the whole idea of getting into project management. I'm PMP. I'm Project Management Professional Certified. I'm PMP number 1049. I'm the second RMP, of the Risk Management Professional on the planet. And I look at those credentials, and I'm glad I got in early. And I think realistically, one of the things we should be is the trendsetters. We need to be the ones who are on the cutting edge. When somebody comes out and says agile, rather than looking at it and going, oh, we don't do that whole agile thing, we should become the arbiters of what good agile looks like.
Right. That's well said. Well said. So when you think of just some of the main conflicts, though, that whether it's a consulting practitioner or organizations have around this area of risk management, what are some of the things that stand out to you?
It's probably the most outstanding thing is just accepting the fact that bad things do happen to good projects.
Right.
And organizations love to say, oh, it won't happen. Or if it does happen, we'll deal with it then. That's a head in the sand kind of thinking. And it's a dangerous place to be.
Right.
Instead, we should be looking at it and going, you know what? From day one, I want you to bring me all the bad news. I want you to bring me the good news, too, but I want you to bring me the bad news, because I want you to bring it to me along with the solution, you know, which is so often the case. Just come to me and say, hey, this might happen to us, but if it does, here's what we can do about it. If you come in with the solution side of things, you're the hero rather than the goat.
Right. Right. So, thinking about, again, going back to your experience in your life, tell me about a time or a project or accomplishment that you consider for yourself to be one of your greatest accomplishments.
Working for EO CSI International. It actually was the thing that made me their vice president of e-learning. But when I was working with ESI International, building their e-learning infrastructure in the mid-1990s was probably just one of those things that you look back on and go, I can't believe we actually accomplished that. And the team that I was working with, and the people were amazing, Godfrey Park and Deborah Brisman, they were just really amazing human beings. And the thing that made it amazing is this was breaking new ground. And the thing that made it successful was the fact that we were a team of, nobody had the same skill sets.
Okay.
No, not two people on the team had the same skill sets. And as a result, we were constantly reliant on each other. There was no way this could have gotten done just by any one player in the team. And that's what made it so amazing. And that's what made it so wonderful, was because everybody was looking at this through a different prism. And the prism through which I looked was a project prism. Deb looked at it from a detailed, anal retentive instructional design prism. Godfrey was looking at it from an IT prism. And it was just fun because you couldn't argue with them because, well, they were the experts in their corner
right.
of the world we were creating.
Right. So it sounds like collaboration is a big part of risk management.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Nobody has the corner on risk. And anybody who claims to is just a fatuous liar.
Mm.
There's no way, because you haven't experienced it all.
Right.
You don't know what other thing is going to whack you upside the head from someplace completely different.
Correct. Good point. So looking forward, you know, you talked about risk management being kind of like the fortune teller or the crystal ball. From a trend standpoint, what trends do you see coming in the industry?
It's more of a wave than a trend. And by a wave, I mean it's one of those things that comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. I think we are currently seeing another upsurge in the applications of risk management, largely because of the external threats that exist to our projects. A lot of them just things you read about in the news every day, that
right.
and that kind of thing actually drives a lot of that behavior. So I think you are going to see just more people paying attention to it. And again, I think it's one of those opportunities where you can open the door and say, you know, I've noticed that we don't have a consistent risk practice. I'd love to be the author of that practice.
Hmm.
And if you're the author, you get to set the rules, you get to set the processes, and you're the official internal Einstein.
Right.
Nice place to be.
Yes. Well put. So, Carl, as we wrap this up, what's one tip or strategy would you give someone if they were looking to grow in their career as a project portfolio manager or risk management expert?
I would look across the horizon of my organization, if you want to stay in the organization, and I would try to identify something that no one else is doing or that they keep pulling and putting different people in and out of a particular given position. And if it's something that looks like fun to you, and fun is really important here, if it's something that looks like fun to you, grab that job. Or if you want a job desperately and frankly don't like working in your own organization right now, I think one of the keys is start becoming an expert in something. And you and I have talked about this before, Joe.
Yep.
You need to be the person who wrote the book.
Right.
Yeah, you need to be the person who sets down, here's what reality should look like.
Correct. And my book's on the way. I'm in the middle of writing it. So, Carl, before we end, if some of our listeners want to learn more about you, where could they go?
They can go to my website at www.carlpritchard.com, and that pretty much tells the whole story.
Perfect. Well, Carl, thank you for talking with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Carl Pritchard, author of 7 books and the book Risk Management Concepts and Guidance. It's in its 5th edition. For more expert insights, go to principlesofexecution.com research.